This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Mike Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Open our Bibles again to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. How many of you enjoyed, Tim Hoskins last week? Huh? Tell you what, man. You know, the establishing witness, glory to God. You know, you really do hold the reins about what happens in your life. Amen? And so it's important for us to know what the will of the Lord is, praise God, get ourselves lined up with it, walk in the light of it. Now, you're going to have some challenges with that, but that's okay. We win. Amen. Jesus went to a cross, died for the sins of the world so that you and I could live and have life and life more abundant. But, you know, we live in this world. We're not of it. But the God of this world do everything he can to try to convince you that it's not yours and you can't have it. And you just have to exercise the jurisdiction that Jesus gave to you and say, oh, yes, I can. And it is mine and I will have it. Hallelujah. Amen. And when we start thinking that way, then things change. I tell you, when I got saved, I didn't know anything about God and the things of God and the blessing of God and the plan of God. And so the more I got into the Word of God, the more I learned about what it is that He had in store for me. Amen. And so, you know, you got to fight through a lot of things. You got to unlearn some stuff. You know, there's some stuff, you know, that we learn, we think about God, and, well, nothing could be further from the truth, but that's what we're told, and so we have a tendency to want to accept that. I'm so glad for the Bible, aren't you? Thank God for His living Word. The entrance of His Word gives light. It gives illumination. It shows us the path that He has for us. And the other thing about the Word that I love so much is that it reveals the character and the nature of our God, who He really is, not what religion says or, you know, Joe Blow or somebody down the street or anything like that, but no, who He really is. And it's so wonderful because that way you know you're not in this thing alone. Amen? That Jesus is for you, that He's on your side. Praise God. And, you know, even if you go stupid, He still won't leave you. Isn't that amazing? Huh? He'll just wait until you get yourself ready to get straightened out. He'll say, good, let's move on. Amen. And so thank God for the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, let's pray together. We'll get into what I want to share with you this evening. Heavenly Father, as we approach the Word of God, we do so again with reverence and humility. So grateful, Father, for that which You have declared and made known to us, that which You chose to reveal, so that we could know the truth and that truth could make us free. Throughout the Scriptures, Father God, You've made known Your plan, Your purpose, and the will that You have for us. And we ask You tonight to help us to better exercise our faith in You and toward You with regard to these promises and these truths that are here within the Word of God. And so I just thank You, Father, for revelation knowledge. I thank You for the quickening or the making alive of the living Word of God in the hearts of these Your people by the Holy Spirit. And Father, I believe that when we go from this place, we'll be edified, that we will be encouraged, enriched by what it is that we've heard and blessed as a result of what it is that we've come to know and maybe perhaps even been reminded of. So we thank You for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did you find Hebrews chapter 11? Yeah, Hebrews chapter 11. We've been talking about the subject of faith during our midweek services since the beginning of the year. You say, well, when are you ever quit? Well, I don't know. Maybe never. Maybe we just preach the whole year on faith. Wouldn't that be fun? Amen. You know, you couldn't, it doesn't get much better than that. Amen. So anyway, notice with me again our text, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It serves as the evidence of that which is not presently seen with your beady little eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. Then in verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, or that He exists, and that He is a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder. You know, I always like to emphasize that point because a lot of folk, you know, when it comes to how they relate to God or their relationship with God, they don't realize that when you obey Him, you get rewarded. Amen. It's kind of like a little kid, you know, when, you know, mom or dad says this, that, or the other, and, you know, well, if you want this, you want to, you know, piece of candy, or you're going to have some whatever, I mean, whatever the reward is, then this is what needs to happen. So they obey, and in their obedience, they get the banana. Hallelujah. So it's important for us, praise God, to understand that our Father is the same way, and so anyway, I want to read a couple other translations. We've read these in the past, but I think that they bear repetition. The New English says that faith gives substance to our hopes. A lot of it, we have all kinds of hopes. We have dreams and different things that we'd like to do. Well, faith is what gives substance to those hopes. Another translation says that faith is the warranty deed that the thing for which you have fondly hoped for is yours at last. So when you buy a house or a home or whatever, they give you a deed. That deed means you own it. It's yours. Maybe you've never even seen the house. Maybe, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you never, I don't know why you would ever do that. But anyway, let's just go with me on this, okay? So when you pay for it, they give you a deed. And that deed is the proof or the evidence that that home belongs to you. All right? Even though, again, we may not be able to see it, thank God we've got what we need to know that it's ours. Now, here's a couple other translations. Moffat's translation. It says this: now, faith means that we are confident of what we hope for. Then it goes on saying convinced of what we do not see. See, faith is confident and faith is convinced of what we do not see based upon what it is that God has said. And then finally, Weymouth's translation says, now faith is the well-grounded assurance. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just like we sang about, he can't fail. He'll never fail. Glory to God. So faith is a well-grounded assurance of that which we hope for and a conviction of the reality of things which we do not see. Remember the servant to Elisha who went up on the wall, you know, that morning when they were down in Dothan, and the Syrian king was after him, brought all of his armies down there. And so when the servant went up there and he seen all these chariots and everything, horsemen, different things, he came back to Elisha, I believe it was, and said, my master, how shall we do? Alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, what are we going to do? And the prophet responded by saying, they that be with us are more than be with them. Well, of course, you know, he couldn't see into the spirit realm. But the truth of the matter is that when Elisha prayed and asked God to open up the eyes of his servant, he seen the chariots of fire and the angels and the angelic hosts that surrounded them. So there is another realm that exists that is really probably more real than the one you and I live in. And it is the sixth sense of faith that gives you or grants you and I access to that realm. Hallelujah. Now, it's important for you to understand that when God opened up the eyes of that servant so that he could see, it isn't that those things were created in that moment. They already existed. So when we read this verse, that it is a conviction of the reality of things that we do not see. So it's just as true and just as real as, you know, the pew that you're sitting on. Hallelujah. Perhaps even more real. So we've been talking about this again for a lot of weeks, actually. And I mentioned the fact that the whole relationship we have with God revolves around faith. Matter of fact, you can't have a relationship with God if you don't have faith. Amen. Faith's what makes that happen. Hallelujah. So knowing what faith is, knowing where it comes from, how it operates, it's huge. And I'm so thankful for our heritage of faith, of having faith in God's word, having the spirit of faith, and learning the word of faith. Glory to God. Amen. Because, you know, we live in a world that's not real happy right now. Amen. People in the world that don't know Christ, don't know God, they're without hope, the Bible says. They're alienated from the life of God. So they got nothing going. But thank God we do. Amen. And we don't ever have to be afraid because, praise God, he's with us, for us, and in us. So knowing where faith comes from, how it operates, it's huge in our personal lives and everything that goes on there. And we talked about the fact that, again, first of all, faith deals with the unseen. Hallelujah. You know, when the Lord spoke to Joan and I about starting a church, we didn't have a church. There was no physical edifice. There was no building. There were no people. We didn't have nothing. But he said, do this. And so we took off. Hallelujah. And, you know, you got to put legs to what it is that you believe. Amen. And, you know, if God's in it, then he'll show up. And he'll make a difference where your life is concerned. So it deals with the invisible. Also, it's based on the known will of God. You can't have faith unless you know his will. Amen. Now, again, a lot of times in our lives, there are things that contradict what it is that God has promised or said that he will do. But, you know, we don't succumb to those things. We obey and we submit ourselves to what he said, and we watch him bring those things to pass. Can you say amen? You know, again, referring back to when we first started the church, we didn't have building, we didn't have people, we didn't have nothing. You know, but we took off in a couple's. In other words, we did what we knew to do. Amen. You know, a lot of people will say, well, you can't have a church, you know. You got no building. Well, you can still have church even though you don't have a building. You say, well, you can't have church, you don't have no people. Well, praise God, let's go out and get some people. You know, I mean, you know, the thing is, there's always going to be reasons, you know, that come against our lives about why things can't be done. You know, well, you can't do that. Well, thank God we'd had sense enough just to believe that we could, and we did it anyway. You know, what we did was so diametrically opposed. I mean, I remember when we'd go to the bank, you know, we'd look for money or something like that, try to do what we were doing. They said, well, you know, what organization is backing you? You know, what denomination do you belong to? Well, we don't, and we don't, and we don't. And they say, well, then we don't, you know. And then, you know, so when that happens, you find another way. Yeah, matter of fact, we bought this building, this property, 10 acres. Used to be in banking business. They used to have an assumable loan. And so the bank up here in Oakland had the loan on this property, and we assumed it. And they didn't like that, you know. But it was assumable, so they had to take us. So they put up with us. But they didn't like us. You know, for a lot of different reasons. You know, we're just we were coloring so far outside the lines that it was not necessarily a sociably acceptable thing. But you know what? We made it. And we had to scratch and claw and do a lot of different things in order to make it all happen. But here we are today. Aren't you glad for that? So, you know, where your personal life is concerned, you're certainly perhaps not where you want to be. But I thank God that you're not, you know, God's not done doing what it is that he's going to do in your life. Amen. And so you just have to, having done all to stand, you have to stand. So we need to know what the will of God is. We also need to believe that we receive when we pray. So much of what praying gets done a lot of times is in the future. It's kind of a hope so kind of thing. We talked about that extensively. But faith believes at the time when it prays that it receives what it is that, you know, whatever it is that we're asking. And so that it can be manifested and realized within our life. And again, there's a fourth thought that I wanted to include here, and that is this thing we're talking about, you know, understanding how faith, the nature of faith and how it operates. One of the most important things in all of that, as I mentioned earlier, is that you have to know who your Heavenly Father really is. It's going to be really hard for you to have faith unless you find from the Bible, the biblical understanding of who God is. And again, if you've grown up in religion, dude, it takes some time to unlearn some stuff, because we've been taught things that are unscriptural, things that are not biblical, things that are just flat out not true about our Heavenly Father. So that becomes a really, really important aspect. I mean, there isn't anybody on the planet or in heaven that is more in favor of you than your Heavenly Father. That's a fact. I mean, he loves you. And he demonstrated it in sending Jesus. God so loved you that he gave his only son so that you wouldn't end up perishing, but you'd have everlasting life. So he cares about you. Sometimes, you know, again, the devil lies to people. Well, God doesn't care about you. If he cared about you, you wouldn't this, that, the other, whatever. You know, God's not listening to you. I mean, there's all kinds of lies. He's a liar. The Bible says there's no truth in him. Huh? See, when you believe the lie, you empower the liar. Okay? We could liken it into a lot of things that are going on in the world today with different factions and people with different ideologies and things of that nature. When they believe the lie that they're being told, it empowers the liar. And that then controls their behaviors, their thinking, all kinds of things. So thank God for the truth. Amen. We can take the word of God, put it up against whatever's being said, and just say, well, no, I don't believe so. I'm not going to accept that. That's not true. Hallelujah. So it's important to understand that aspect of, again, the nature of God and his character toward us. Praise God. See, if I could separate you from your source of strength and power and ability, I've got you. Okay, if I can cut you off from that, you know, by getting you to believe that God really doesn't care about you, that he doesn't love you, that, you know, however you want to define that, then I've got you, okay? Because it makes you weak. But thank God the Bible says, let the weak say I am what? Strong. Why? Because the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. So when you know him, then you don't believe the lie and you don't follow after whatever it is the devil might be telling your people or whoever, you know. So what I want to try to focus on here for about the next 30 minutes is talking about the importance of corresponding action or acting on the word. Amen. There's just too little of that that takes place within the life of a believer. You know, we probably at some point could talk about the hindrances to faith. And this would certainly be one of them. As a matter of fact, it might be the I don't know, you say greatest. I don't know if it's the greatest hindrance to faith. But the failure to act on God's word is a huge problem. Where people are concerned and or having corresponding action to what it is that God says. So sometimes, you know, without really even realizing it, where our lives are concerned, we're just not doing what needs to be done. And we're not the only ones, so thank God for that. Amen. I mean, throughout history, you can see where Israel and different ones, you know, they're squalling and bawling, you know, and murmuring and whatever. And God's saying, dude, I've already done everything that needs to happen. Get after it. You know, and we see that repeatedly throughout the scriptures where people's lives are concerned. So we're just not doing what needs to be done. I mean, we're praying. You know, a lot of folk pray, man, I'm praying. Well, sometimes you don't really need to pray. You just need to obey. Yeah. You know, people are waiting for God, you know, and sometimes now you get ready for this, but some people just aren't willing to do what they need to do. They're looking for another, you know, we got some kind of workaround here. No, you just got to do it. Amen. And sometimes that's, quite honestly, you know, people don't want to do it. Look at this verse of scripture with me. Turn to James chapter 2. We looked at this, I think, in our studies earlier, but we want to revisit it. Amen. James chapter 2. And let's begin reading. You know, James is pretty matter of fact. Have you ever noticed when you read his epistle? I mean, he's just like, you know, he didn't mince words. He didn't, you know, kind of pussyfoot around or nothing, man. He hammers you. Count it all joy whenever you fall into various temptations, tests, and trial, knowing this, that the trial of your faith will work endurance. Let it have its perfect work so that you can be perfect and entire, lacking no good and beneficial thing. Hallelujah. But, you know, and then he goes on and talks about faith. So James is a good man to follow after, amen? Notice what he says here in the second chapter, beginning with verse 14. He asks the question, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he has faith and have not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or a sister were naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you were to say to them, well, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them those things that they which are needful to the body, what in the world good is that? You know, a brother or sister's got a need, and you say, be warm, be filled, hope it all works out. When you have it within your ability to do something about it, he says, what good's that? So then he goes on then to compare that and say, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God? Well, you're doing well there. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without corresponding action or works is dead? We mentioned this to you before, that faith is relief or revealed, or released, we could say, by word and action. The things we say, the things we do, very telling about what it is that we believe and if we have faith. And it's the things we say and the things we do that reveal it. And our actions reveal whether we really have faith or not. You know, Thomas is a great example. You know, they said, we've seen the Lord. He says, I don't care. I don't believe it. Unless I can see it, I'm not going to believe it. Well, Jesus walked through the wall there about 8 days later and said, well, what do you think now, Thomas? And he had a repenting party. Well, thank God he was repenting. He said, because you've seen, you believe, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Amen. And I tell you what, I'm within the company of people that are like that. Amen. We're going to believe what it is that he said. We're going to do what he said, and we're going to receive, or we're going to see the results of what he said in our lives. Can you say amen? Yeah, we'll try to unpack that a little bit in some practical applications. So our actions reveal whether we have faith or not. It's just like you being here tonight. Whether you realize it or not, it demonstrates faith. What are you going to do on Wednesday night? Well, we're going to church. You're going to do what? Yeah, we're going to church, midweek service. We're going to go hear the word. Amen. Why? Because the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And I want to know my Father. I want to learn more. I want to be able to align my life with what it is that he's prescribed so that, praise God, I can enjoy the blessing of God. Well, you know, it requires faith to do that. It requires faithfulness to do that. Amen. You know, and staying with it and that type of thing. Church isn't a part of our life. It is our life. Are you with me? When I got saved, man, I came into the family of God, and this is the house. And so, praise God, you know, I live within the framework of that. You know, about a year and a half ago, not quite now yet, but we turned the leadership of the church over to our son. Well, you know, on January the 15th, when we did that, on the 22nd, it wasn't like, well, we did get away for a little bit, but it's like, okay, well, I'm done. I won't go to church anymore because, you know, I'm not the pastor anymore. I'm a senior pastor anymore, or however you call me. But, you know, but no, this is our life. This is who we are. This is what we do. Amen. And so, you know, you have to understand that in the context of this whole thing. You know, so whether it's, it reveals who we are, whether it's church attendance, walking in love, whether you tithe or you don't tithe, you know, whether you pray or don't pray, all of those things are very revealing about, you know, how we treat each other. You know, the Bible does tell us how we are to act toward one another. Did you know that? Yes. Yeah, amen. How many of you have ever been tempted not to act the way the Bible tells you to? Sure. So we have an opportunity to pass up whatever it is that we're thinking we would rather do and just go ahead and do it. That's faith. You know, I mean, you know, instead of reacting, you know, that, you know, so much of what you see happening in the world today, it's intended for a reaction and not the right kind of reaction. So you have to not react, but you have to respond in a biblical kind of way. Are you listening to me? So you can have a heart full of faith, but it, you know, here's the thing, you know, if you got a heart full of faith, but it's never acted on, it's never going to do you any good. And so we'll talk about that here. Well, as a matter of fact, go back to that verse and look at verse 17. It says this, it says, even so faith, if it doesn't have corresponding actions, it's dead. Now notice it says being alone. So you might have, you know, faith, but if there's no corresponding action to it, then it's never going to do you any good. Can you say amen? You know, it can be as simple a thing as, you know, the Bible teaches us to, you know, forgive or to repent. And so, you know, sometimes faith, as simple as that, is recognizing I need to repent. So we go to whoever and we say, you know what, I'm sorry, you know, and I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. You know, whatever it looks like. That's faith. Why? Because I don't want to be robbed of the blessing of God. And if I got a brain in my head, I'm going to do what he told me to do. Now, if I want to go, you know, bow my neck and just say, forget you, I don't care, I can do that. But I'm telling you what, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And I don't like that. I don't know about you. Amen. You say, yeah, but I'm right. Who cares? You know, maybe you are. Maybe you think you are and you're not. Come on now. You know, so either way, that's a no-win kind of deal. You might as well get in line with what he has to say. So you can have faith, but if you don't act on it, let's look at, turn with me to Acts chapter 14. Here's an example of that that'll bear this point out, the fact that you can have faith, but if you don't act on your faith, it doesn't do you any good. Notice with me in Acts chapter 14, let's start with verse 8. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. Verse 8, it says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. I think this guy was 38 or maybe 40 years old or something like that. But notice it says in verse 9, this is very important. Notice it says, the same heard Paul do what? Speak. Well, obviously, he was preaching the gospel. He went to Lystra and he preached, or the same heard Paul speak. Now, notice verse 9, who steadfastly beholding him. Now, Paul's the one who was steadfastly beholding the man. And perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Stop. Okay. So read this with me. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that the man had faith to be healed. But let me ask you a question. Paul perceived he had faith to be healed, but was he healed? No. He was still impotent in his feet. He was still crippled. You know, there was nothing there. But Paul perceived. What does it mean he perceived? He, by the Spirit of God on the inside of him, knew that the guy had faith to be healed because of what he had heard Paul speak. And so Paul preached the gospel. And obviously, within the context of that gospel which Paul preached, he probably said, healing belongs to us. You can be healed. Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. And by his stripes, you have been made whole or healed. So the Bible says that Paul perceived the man had faith to be healed on the basis of what he heard, and yet at that moment, he was not healed. Now notice what it goes on then to say in the 10th verse. So he said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Why did he do that? Because he had faith to be healed. Amen. Now he'd never done that before in his life, right? So he started making an effort and the power of God hit this guy. And all of a sudden he comes up off of the ground, man, and he's healed by the power of God. So he had faith to be healed, but until that faith was released, until that faith was turned loose, or we could say until there was corresponding action to what it is that Paul announced or said with a loud voice, the guy would have never been any closer to being healed than he was prior to that. Does that make sense to you? So our faith has to be revealed or released, I should say, either by word or by action. In this case, he needed to act and he was healed. Hallelujah. And when the people saw it, what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices and said, this man's a god. You know, then they were gonna make him and I can't remember. I think Barnabas was with him. They gave him names and all kinds of stuff. Weird. They, you know, obviously their theology was a little bit jacked, you know. And they said, man, no, we didn't do this. Why look ye so earnestly upon us like, you know, we've made this guy to walk? No, it's Jesus, faith in his name that made him whole. So anyway, my point to this is simply this, that there had to be corresponding. Even though the guy had faith, he was still sitting there. It wasn't until the command of faith, rise up and walk, was given to him that faith took hold and changed that situation. Same thing's true in our lives. Faith comes to our heart based upon what we hear from the Word of God, and so we have to then begin to correspond or have action with that. So without it, faith is dead, being alone. But thank God we're not like that, amen? You know, I'll give you an example, like problems in a relationship. Any of you ever had problems in a relationship? How many of you know the Bible tells us what it is we're supposed to do? Huh? Sometimes we don't really feel like doing that, do we? Huh? But thank God we walk by faith, not by the way we feel, right? So if we're going to have the kind of result that we're after, we can't allow our feelings to dictate to us how that's going to go down, even though we all have done that, right? Any of you ever just talked ugly sometimes, you know, about something, someone, something? None of you. Okay, great, good. Well, here's the thing. When these things come our way, then we have to ask ourselves, what would faith do? Okay? What are we to do? Are we to reciprocate the same kind of nastiness, or are we to, you know, well, for lack of a better way of saying it, turn the other cheek? The Bible says that you and I are to be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, right? Now, I wish we had time to unpack all that, because a lot of what people define as love really isn't love at all, you know? Because love means no violence. You know, you got people that are, you know, they're believers, they're born of the Spirit of God, but they're mean and they're ugly and they're nasty. And they're either nasty with the way they speak or even sometimes with what they do. And I got to tell you, man, that God is going to judge that kind of nonsense. Amen. You're bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. We don't need to behave that way. Can you say amen? You know, so that's not the corresponding actions that we're talking about here. It certainly isn't faith, you know, but thank God we can have it because we're born of His Spirit. So again, how do we respond to something, you know, that comes our way? Not react, but respond. You know, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but that's really not the truth, or that isn't, you know, what I meant, or, you know, something. I mean, depending on what the circumstance is, we just need to be wise, slow to speak, slow to wrath, quick to hear, but to respond in a biblical kind of way. Can you say amen? We talked about it in some of the other sessions that we've had together about strife. You know, the Bible, James, again, he said, where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. Hell sets things on fire with a thing called strife. So as believers, hopefully, you know, we can get smart enough to realize that we're not allowing strife in anything. All right, because the servant of the Lord mustn't strive. The Bible says that when you do, you're taken captive by the devil at his will. So we just got to sharpen up here a little bit, get brighter. Can you say amen? We don't succumb to those kind. No, I'm not sticking my foot in that trap. I'm not going to get into a, you know, some kind of a fight or war or something like that with someone. We're smarter than that. Can you say amen? So we respond, but you don't succumb to all these verbal wranglings, you know, that people will often have. Why? Because we're bigger than that. Hopefully we're growing in our character and in our, you know, as it says, be imitators or followers of God. In other words, we're growing up into Him in all things, who is the head, even Christ. We're becoming more Christ-like. We're not succumbing to or giving into those kinds of things where our lives are concerned. Amen? Amen. And you know, how many of you know you're a lot better than you were? But you know what? You haven't arrived yet. We're just going to keep on going. Amen. So it's important. You know, here's a verse of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, so that you might inherit a blessing. For the scripture says, and he's quoting Psalm 34, verse 12, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit, or I think King James says guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. And let him seek peace and pursue it. Hallelujah. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. So thank God we can just get out of that whole mess. Amen. Really be careful about the things that you say. It's so hard sometimes, you know, because we tend to want to judge. We want to criticize or be critical or even cynical for that matter. You know, I mean, Pastor Willie George had a message, how to raise positive kids in a negative world. And that's so important. Hallelujah. To have a good report, because faith always has a good report. Can you say amen? The Bible says not to let any corrupt communication come out of our mouth. We're talking about having faith that has a corresponding action to it. So, you know, when something comes along our way and whatever, if the opportunity is to say something of a negative nature, then we just zip our lip. Huh? Yeah. Don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but rather that which is good to the use of edifying, so that it may minister grace to the hearer. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a better way. Can you say amen? So that's problems in relationships, even with financial deficiency. We're talking about corresponding actions that are necessary. Here's another example. You know, what happens is we discover through the Word of God that God doesn't want us to be in lack. Okay, if you read any of the scriptures, you know, let them shout for joy, that favor my righteous cause, you know, let them be glad, praise God, let the Lord be magnified, which has prosper or has delight in the prosperity of his servant. That's Psalm 35. I didn't quote that just right, but Psalm 35, verse 27. Have you got that, Julia? Can you throw that up there for me? Yeah. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Now notice, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. How many servants we got here tonight? Okay, well, how many of you know God has delight or pleasure in your prosperity? That's not what I heard when I first got saved. It was, you know, actually the exact opposite. Okay? You know? The Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things, pray and desire above all things, that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So as our brain gets smarter, hallelujah, amen, as we grow in him, as we renew our mind, as we find out what the will of the Lord is, the blessing of God comes our way. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be, what's the next word? Added to you. So again, you know, you find, you discover these things in the Word of God, and you get them down on the inside, and you come to realize God doesn't want me to be in lack. He doesn't want me to have deficiency. He wants me to have an abundance. Hallelujah. But circumstances will often say otherwise. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. So what do? Well, number one, we change the way we think if we haven't done that already. And not only that, we also change the way we act. Hallelujah. Don't talk about whatever it is that's not going right. Are you listening to me? You know, because all it does is make the mountain bigger. Are you with me? You say, yeah, but I mean, you know, you just can't ignore it. You can't deny it. You know, you can't just, you know, stick your head in the sand. I didn't say any of those things. Okay. You know, but yet right on the other hand, you know, faith always has a good report. It's kind of like Abraham. He said, God will provide a sacrifice for us when he was there with his son Isaac. So we seek wisdom for financial needs that we have and how it is that he would have us to do it. Like, for example, you know, it's kind of a simple thing, but you know, if you drive a car and it gets 10 miles to the gallon and you can't afford it, maybe you need a different car. You know, I have a diesel pickup. This thing loves fuel, you know. Well, fortunately, I'm in a place where I can pay for it. But I can tell you this much about it. If I was not in a place, I'd have one of them Hyundai's or whatever, you know. I'd be looking for something that gets about 50 miles a gallon. It's a practical thing. Oh, no, by golly, I got to have this. You don't have to have anything, man. You know, all that is pride. Come on, am I in the right house? You know, think. You know, so that you can have whatever it is that you want, you know. But a lot of times, folks, they don't want to do that. They, no, uh-uh. No, you know, what are people going to think if I'm driving around in some rice grinder? Well, you know, if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. But yet, right on the other hand, work your way up and get where you need to be. Can you say amen? So we talked about trouble in relationships, talk about financial things. These aren't really our subjects. But even worry, anxiety, and discouragement. These are huge right now, you guys. But God doesn't want you to be discouraged in any way, shape, or form. You say, well, I can't help it. You know, you just don't know my circumstance. Well, maybe. But you're talking about your circumstance. You're not talking about what God can do about your circumstance. So the point being is what we have to do is get over into this place where we believe and trust him and do and say what it is that he wants us to do and say. Amen. For example, you know, the Bible says, you know, to cast all your care onto him. Why? Because he cares for you. The Bible says to be careful for nothing. Yeah, but have you seen what's going on? Have you looked at my life? Have I? Well, again, you know, these are all very real things. But if I'm going to overcome what it is that I'm facing, I got to look at them differently. I have to look at them from a biblical standpoint, not what the circumstance is trying to dictate. Does that make sense to you? You say, well, that's just foolishness. Well, you know what? You can call it whatever you want, but I'm telling you what, if you can have faith in God, he'll turn the circumstance around, but he needs your faith. But if all you do is accentuate the problem, then you can't turn it around. Notice with me, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Y'all glad you came tonight? Good. A few of you anyway. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5, and you're familiar with this scripture, these scriptures, but notice verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may be exalted in due time. You know, if it's nothing more than say, God, I don't know what to do. That's a pretty good prayer. Yep. It can really turn things around. Hallelujah. You know, but you do have to humble yourself to say that. Amen.
Well, man, I don't want to let anybody know that I don't know what to do.
Dude, God already knows you don't know what to do. You know, you know, come on, get real, dude. So he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, 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 at the right time, in due season. Amen. Well, I need my season to be yesterday. Okay, that's fair. But notice it says, casting all your care, verse 7, casting all. Everybody say all. All your care. You know, that's very intentional. Casting all your care onto him. Hallelujah. For or because he cares for you. So a lot of times it's really an act of your will. Say, Father, this stuff is coming down around my ears, but I don't care because I know you're bigger than any problem I will ever have. And I don't have the answer, but I know you do. And so my eyes are on you. I'm looking to you. Lord, help me. Show me what it is that I need to do. Then he goes on to say in verse 8, but be sober and be vigilant. Why? because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, isn't it interesting, in the context of talking about care, worry, and anxiety, he brings up the devil? Huh? He says, God cares for you, but you need to be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes and roams about looking for someone to devour with care, worry, and anxiety or discouragement. So notice the next verse. We're talking about acting on the word here. Verse 9. Whom, what's that next word?
Resist.
Say it again.
Resist.
Whom resist steadfast in the faith, or your faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So in other words, you're not the only one. You ever felt like you were the only one? Huh?
I'm the only one. Nobody else has got a...
Elijah thought that. He said, man, just God kill me, will you? You know, I'm the only one. I'm the only one serving you. Everybody else is forsaking you. God says, shut up. There are 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. This is what I want you to do. And he gave him an assignment and got him out of his funk. How many of you know sometimes we need to get out of our funk? Amen. So this is the way that we can do it. But you have to resist the temptation to be overcome with discouragement or worry. And sometimes it can be a battle. I mean, praise God, it can be a battle. But you know what? Praise God, we don't lay down. Why? Because he's given us the victory. Sometimes, you know, you can come against this thing in the name of Jesus, and the care and the worry will subside, and then you want to go lay your head on a pillow, and all of a sudden here it comes back. And you said, I wasn't really planning on this. I wanted to sleep. But since you're here, we'll go ahead and read the Bible to you again so that you can get a clue. Amen. So you got to get back up, and you got to stand on, you know, the word of faith and believe God until it goes, because it can't stay. You're the one that determines that. Can you say amen? But I'm tired. Yes, I am too. So hallelujah. We're all in the same boat. We have to deal with these kinds of things. You have to resist the temptation to be overcome. No, I will not quit, because I know I'm not a quitter, and God is on my side. Amen. Look with me to Matthew chapter 6 real quick as we talk about this subject. This will bless you. This is something Jesus said. So if you don't want to take my word for it, let's listen to what it is he had to say. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. He says, in 24 he says you can't serve God in money, but in verse 25 he says, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life. And it's in the context of anxious thoughts of worry or care or anxiety, even discouragement. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowl of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. From my wife's bird feeder that's got everything known to any bird that you would ever want. We got stuff, man. Hallelujah. It's all good. And she always tells me, and it's true, she says, my hobbies are a lot less expensive than yours. So how can you fight against that? But he did say, or ask a question, are you not better than they? Verse 27, which of you by taking anxious thought can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, wasn't arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which tomorrow is, or today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of what? Little faith. Yeah. Wherefore, if he does, then therefore. Now notice this verse. Take no thought, saying, what are we going to eat? What will we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your Father knows that you have need of all the things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what?
Added.
Now I want to make one quick point here. as we try to draw this to a close tonight. I want you to notice this verse right here in verse 31. And let me, before we read it, let me make this statement to you. I think, again, without people realizing it, they take anxiety, worry, and care or discouragement. They take it by what they say. It's almost like you purchase it by the things that come out of your mouth. What are we going to do? And that's what Jesus was talking about. Which of you, by taking thought, you know, can add one cubit to his stature, you know? And the way it happens is we take it by saying, my God, what are we going to do? When you do that, you take the worry, the care, the anxiety. I've talked to people before, you know, and they'll say, my rheumatoid arthritis, my rheumatism, my this, my that. What have they done? They've taken it. And you can't do that. Give it back to the devil and let him be the one that has it. So notice that verse. Let's read it so you understand what this concept. Therefore, take no thought. What's the next word?
Saying.
Doing what?
Saying.
Take no thought saying. You know, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? You know, because the world out there, that's what they do. But your Father knows that you have need of all these things. So praise God, you don't have to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. The more you talk about your mountain, the bigger it gets. Huh? I can't remember exactly what the guy says. You know, instead of talking about how big your mountain is, you need to tell your mountain how big your God is. Amen. And that'll work to your advantage in a lot of different ways. There was one more point that I was going to make here as a matter of example. It's this idea of another weapon that the devil uses against people to keep them from responding or acting on the word, and that is fear. The opposite of faith is really fear, you know? Because fear has such a paralyzing effect on someone. You know, when you become afraid, you just stop. You just kind of come to a standstill. You know, you're afraid and you're not moving. You know, I've heard the story before, and I understand. I went to Africa, and I went to this, you know, I was out on this reserve, and I had it kind of reminded you of a round granary that was made out of concrete. It had a thatched roof on the top of it, you know, and different things, and that's where I spent the night. And it had windows in it, and the walls were probably about that thick. It had windows all the way around it, you know, so you could get some air because it was hot, but there was no bars, there was no screen, there was no nothing. Well, at night, man, I'm telling you what, the jungle comes alive, baby. And I mean, there's lions roaring and all this different kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm laying there going, oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, I mean it'll get you to pray. Hallelujah. But I have heard that one of the things that a lion's roar will do is it paralyzes its prey. You know, they just come to a stop because it can't do nothing and pounce. You know, you with me? So you can't let fear do that. God hasn't given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Glory to God. I'm telling you, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Amen. He's changed all of that. You know, David and Goliath's a great example. Everybody else was afraid of Goliath except David. Why? Because he was a person of faith. He said, I've got a history with God. There was a bear, there was a lion came, tried to take the sheep. I went out, man, I went after him and said, that guy right there is going to be just like him. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Hang out with those kind of people, will you? It'll bless you. Praise God. All right, we need to stop. Why don't you stand with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, fear thou not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed or discouraged, for because I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Glory to God. Numbers 13, you've been hearing it for the last 2 weeks. Pastor Brian, Tim Hoskins, and preaching on 13. Man, it's great. I mean, there's so much that can be learned in that as to how Caleb and Josh responded versus the other 10, which you don't, like he said, hear any, you know, we don't celebrate their names. Not to mention the fact that when judgment came, they all died. All 10 of them. Poof. You know? So, you know, Jesus told Jairus, fear not, only believe. Glory to God. Father, tonight, we're just so, so grateful, Father, for everything you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be dismayed. Hallelujah. We don't have to be filled with worry, care, and anxiety. Thank you, Father. You've made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. And you've given us a way, Father, hallelujah, when sometimes it looks like there is no way. I thank you, Lord God, for restoring relationships because of what we do and how we respond and our corresponding actions that bring about healing and restoration in those relationships, Lord. I just thank you, Father God, tonight that every need is met, every bill's paid, whatever it is, Father, that these folks are in need of. Father, I thank you, you will show them a way whereby they can have more than enough, a sufficiency, a supply, perhaps that no other person has. And we just thank you for your wisdom, guiding their steps, showing them what they need to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise, praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, I'll just say this while we're here in an attitude of prayer, that there's someone here this evening, I don't know who you might be, but you know, you're standing at this this place in your life where your money is concerned, and God wants to give you his wisdom about how you can do one thing and it'll take care of about six other things. It wasn't what you wanted to do. Perhaps it wasn't even something that you were even aware of. But he's going to give you that wisdom, and the wisdom of God is pure and peaceable and easy to be entreated. You'll know it's him. And even though it may sting a little bit against what you want to do, you need to obey him, because he wants to deliver you and get you out of whatever it is that you find yourself to be in. And he'll do it. And I tell you, such peace you'll enjoy. And not only that, all the pressure will be, it'll leave. It'll be gone. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for helping this person to see their way through what it is you want them to know and understand, so that blessing can flow in their life. And Father, we just thank you tonight for this opportunity. We love you so much, Father. Thank you for everything you've done for us and are doing and going to do. And God, we just thank you that you are and serve as an anchor to our soul, that you keep us, Father, in all of our ways. Hallelujah. So we thank you for your blessing, Father God, tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen.